But as we begin, I want to show you some interesting billboards that I found as I was cruising through the internet preparing for this. But I want to point out that the mark of a good billboard, you know, on the streets, the billboards on the streets is, first of all, it somehow has to catch your attention. And then after that, it has to give some clear message. So let's look at these billboards. The very first one is a man, and he's down in there, and he's cleaning out the pores of his skin and stuff like that. And of course, you know, it's, yeah, looks interesting. But as you're driving, that would kind of, whoa, and catch. At first, it looks like a tonsil hanging down there. But he's cleaning out this pore and stuff, and of course, you know, it's for ponds. Let's go to the next one. We get this one here, and this one catches your attention simply because there's this monkey that's climbing up the pole, and it talks about they do their own stunts, and this one is for the Minnesota Zoo. And I'm sure if you're driving down the road and you saw that monkey, you would look again just to see what was there. Go ahead and go to the next one, Tim, please. Thank you. This one, we may all need this one after the holiday season. You know, you eat so much, you get so heavy that the billboard is actually tipped up in the air, and of course, it's for a fitness center. The next one that I have for you is one that I really like, and that's because I like tools, and the post that holds the drill up is actually the drill bit. And what I found most interesting about this one is down at the base, and they even have it highlighted, is if you were actually running a drill, it would create the shavings, and so there's this mound there which creates the shaving. This next one is interesting. This guy is painting, and it actually looks like some guy is really suspended on this billboard. He's trying to reach out there and paint. Now, I'm not sure OSHA would say that was okay, but this one, as he's painting it, it kind of disappears, and this one is for natural finish paint. It just looks like paint. And if you were driving down the road and not really paying a lot of attention, you would think a guy was really hanging there. Now, this next one, I don't know if any of you ever really have a pounding headache. Well, this may be the reason that you would have a pounding headache, as this wrecking ball is going through your brain, and of course you know it is for Tylenol. Now, this last one I have for you up here is, it's just a sign. This is a sign. But the truth is, this is a sign by a creative arts college saying that if you were to go to their college, then you could make this sign far better than just this. Is a sign. And I found some of these to be fairly interesting. And so as we're working our way through our Christmas, our Advent series, Jesus is everything to me Christmas. Today our scripture is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. I'm going to ask you if you would please to stand as we read through our scripture. Some of us are standing a little more slowly than we used to. Our scripture reads like this: "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.'" Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Now, I want to kind of repeat where I started this whole thing with, that the mark of a good sign is that somehow it catches your attention and then it gives you a clear message. And I believe that our scripture today has a message that is almost exactly like the last billboard I showed you. This is a sign. A matter of fact, verse 12 of what we just read says, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Now, the King James says, "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." See, there's something about the Savior being wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger that catches our attention. And it gives us a clear message of what God wants us to know about Jesus. But first we need to point out the importance of the word Savior. You see, in verse 11 of our scripture, it said, the angel said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The sign that the angel spoke of pointed to the Savior. So what does it mean that Jesus is our Savior? Well, Jesus came to save us from our sins. When the angel appeared to Joseph in the dream, declared that Mary was going to have a son, the angel says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 5, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." When someone dies, people will say things like, "They have gone to a much better place. I hope they rest in peace." But if the person dies without having this personal relationship with Jesus, without knowing Jesus, the place that they're going to is not a better place. It's not heaven. Our sin would rob us of heaven. It wouldn't matter how nice you've been, how much good stuff you have done. Without Jesus, you would not rest in peace. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 10 explains how important this is. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. You see, this isn't about God choosing to send people to hell because everybody deserves to go to hell. Ephesians chapter 2 says that before we became Christians, Christ followers, believers, whatever you want to term it, before we became Christians, we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Someone once noted that if you don't follow Jesus, you're not going to go where he went. It's kind of like follow the leader. If Jesus was going somewhere and you're not with him, you're not following after him, you cannot go where he went. And so we need to realize how important Jesus is to us. If we could get to heaven without Jesus, then Jesus, he didn't have to die. And the announcement by the angel that Jesus was born to save the people from their sins, that would have all just been a lie. And if Jesus didn't really come to save us from our sins, there was some way that we could do it ourselves, we didn't really need his help, then this whole thing is just a lie. But I don't believe it's a lie. It's the truth. We all need Jesus. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, it was literally a matter of life and death. It was our life. It was our death. The eternal kind. You know, as Buzz Lightyear would say, to infinity and beyond. It's forever. We needed Jesus to be our Savior because without him, there would be no hope. And so then what about this sign of a Savior in swaddling clothes? What is it about the sign that God wants us to understand? Well, the focus of the sign was, you will find a baby. And when we think of God, babies usually aren't the very first thing that comes to mind. See, babies, they're cute. They're innocent. They're actually comforting. But God doesn't often come across that way in Scripture very often, does he? In Exodus chapter 19, we are told about the Israelites, and they've gathered there at the foot of Mount Sinai. It's on the morning of the third day, and there were thunders, and there was lightning, and there was this thick cloud on the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. And then Moses, he brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. And then in Scripture, if you read in Hebrews, it talks about, it says, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. There is something about being in the presence of a holy God that is intimidating. If instead of being born as a baby in a manger, if God had stepped down from heaven with all of his majesty, with all of his power, with all of his might, and he had appeared to them as the Almighty God, then they would have scattered in fear. I think the same thing would happen to us if God just came down here. We would all scatter before him. Because God, in all of his glory, he would have been unapproachable. But babies are a different story. The only fear that people have of babies is that somehow you might drop them. You see, they look so fragile and they're so easily hurt that a lot of people are very gentle with them. They feel this need to be very protective of them. And when a baby is born, it seems like everybody has to go and see that baby. They want to see the baby. And in the story of these shepherds who are out in the field at night, when the angel appears to them, the shepherds, they're terrified. But after the angel has left them and told them about the baby in the manger, the shepherds, they say to each other, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They're terrified of the angel, but they want to go see the baby. They might fear angels, but not a baby. Babies, they are approachable. And this baby was a baby that they just needed to go and see. That's the first thing that God wanted us to see in the sign of a Savior. And that is that Jesus came to be approachable. One of the most famous verses in all of Scripture. You'll see people hold a placard up in these sporting events and stuff like that. And many of you are going through your head, and I haven't even told you what it is yet. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have that memorized, but many of us overlook the very next verse. John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, Jesus, he didn't come down in might. He didn't come down in power. He came down as a gentle, as a fragile baby, a child, as God in the flesh. The song we were just singing about, you know, Emmanuel. So that we would know that he meant us no harm. And Jesus was a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, I don't know how many of you are really familiar with that. If you've had your own kids, maybe you are. Swaddling clothes, swaddling blankets. You know, it's a real thing and stuff like that. And I didn't know a whole lot about it and stuff like that. But I asked Haley. I spoke with Haley. And believe me, it took me forever to get this here because Haley had it for me. This is a swaddling blanket. This one belongs to Elliot. This one is Elliot's, half a day, it's from Guam and stuff like that. And I asked Haley if I could borrow this. And those of you who have had babies or grandkids and stuff like that, you would probably know about these. It's a real thing. And hospitals do this. And they take these blankets and they wrap the babies in the blankets. But there's a reason it's done. It was done back when Jesus was born, and it's been done for centuries since. Swaddling, it protects a baby against their natural startle reflex, or this kind of jump reflex, which means that the baby sleeps better, and if the baby sleeps better, the mother sleeps better too. It helps the baby to sleep longer and better. It helps to prevent SIDS, you know, sudden infant death syndrome, by keeping the baby on its back while it is sleeping. A blanket wrapped very snugly around your baby's body. It can resemble the mother's womb, and it helps to soothe a newborn baby. The American Academy of Pediatrics says that when done correctly, swaddling can be a very effective technique to help calm infants and to promote sleep. Now, that's all nice. That's real cute, isn't it? But why would Jesus need to be wrapped in swaddling clothes? I mean, Jesus was God in the flesh. You wouldn't think that he would somehow have the startle reflex. You wouldn't think that he would be in danger of SIDS or that he would even need any help sleeping. I mean, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. He's all powerful. Why would he need a swaddling blanket? But what I found interesting is that in verse 12, the angel says, "And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." The angel could have very easily have said, "You will find the baby lying in a manger." A manger is a feeding trough. He could have left the whole swaddling thing out of it. There probably weren't too many babies there in Bethlehem on that morning, that time, that were born that were in a feeding trough. There probably weren't. So all you have to do is go look for some baby that's laying in a feeding trough. But the angel tells him that's part of the sign. The swaddling cloth, that's part of it. Because even at his birth, Jesus was like us. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself. Verses that we just sang in the songs. He stepped out of heaven. He humbled himself. Jesus, he became mortal. He became human just like us, even when he was a baby. But why? Why did he have to become mortal? Well, Jesus, he became mortal so that he could die on the cross to destroy the power of death. You see, all of us, each and every one of us has sinned, and the price of our sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us, the wages of sin is death. It's our death, unless someone can take our place and die in our place. But the problem is, there is no one who could take our place in death because every one of us have sinned. There's nobody there who can do that for us. Nobody would be able to be that sinless sacrifice that we, each and every one of us, needed unless God were to die for us. But you see, that's kind of the problem right there. By its definition, God can't die. God cannot die unless, of course, somehow he were to become mortal, become human just like us. And that's what the sign was all about. Jesus was God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us, born to become mortal for us so that he could die for us. Could die for you and for me. This baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You see, that leads us to one final thought. Jesus, he came to die. And when he died, he was buried in a borrowed tomb, a lot like this one. You can go to Jerusalem, you can go into Israel, and you can find all kinds of. I found a whole bunch of different ones, and some of them are almost like little clefts in the rock, but they're just little carved out parts. This one, it's carved out stone. A lot of it there is limestone. And the limestone would be easy to carve out, and they would carve it out. And then they would leave flat places where the body could be laid. It's very possible Jesus was in this one. We don't really know. But how does that apply to this whole manger scene? Well, there are a lot of scholars who are convinced that they know exactly where Jesus was born. Okay, you have to run with me a little bit on this. And it wasn't in a wooden barn like we often show. It was in a cave. And if you go to Jerusalem, there is the Church of the Nativity. It's an actual place and stuff. And you can go into the Church of Nativity, and there's this 14-point star on the ground, and they say that underneath that, you can go down to the cavern of the Nativity or the cave of the Nativity, and that Jesus was born down in a cave. A cave that may have looked a little bit like this one. One writer noted that the place... Well, I guess I should back up a little bit because I jumped, didn't I? Yeah, you're right, Tim. I just jumped off and stuff like that. No, go back to the one you're at. I'll go back to that. This one, this is a manger. This would have been something that Jesus, we often show things like this. But the truth is, a manger would have been stone that would have been carved out. It would probably look more like this. One writer noted the place where Jesus was born was probably a cave for keeping animals, especially sheep. And in this cave would have been a carved out stone for watering them. Tim, go ahead and go to the next slide. And this watering trough was called a manger. Probably would have been a seam, something a little bit more like this, just kind of an inlet, a carved out spot. And they would have kept their sheep safe in there, and the shepherd would have been out on the edge. The watering trough's called a manger. Baby Jesus, he would have been wrapped in strips of cloth, placed in that stone watering trough for his bed. And for those who had first time they'd heard this story, they knew the culture because they lived the culture, it would have sounded eerily like the tomb in which he was placed at his death. Follow along with me on this if you can. When Jesus was born, his body was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And when they buried Jesus, they wrapped his body in linen. When Jesus was born, many believed that it was more likely in a cave. And when Jesus was buried, they placed his body in a cave-like tomb. When Jesus was born, Mary probably placed the baby on a stone slab that had been chiseled out to care for sheep, cattle, a feeding trough. And when Jesus was buried, they placed his body on a stone slab. In other words, get this, everything about the Savior being wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, it pointed to what Jesus came to do for us. It ultimately pointed to a Savior who had to die. One who had to be buried in a borrowed tomb on a stone slab that looked a lot like a stone manger. Manger that he would have been laid on as a baby. But see, here's the deal. You don't have to know all that in order for Jesus to change your life. And it doesn't matter if he was born in a cave-like structure or in a manger scene like this. Teo was actually here last week when we were decorating, and he stood up on here, and he felt that the camel and the donkey and the cow needed to be up on the roof because it needed to be second-story animals. And so we put them up there, and I left them there. Somebody else has moved it. But Teo, and he sees this. And whether it was in a wooden structure like that or in a cave structure, some believe it may have been like in a garage of a house type thing, and that they would have lived upstairs and it would have been downstairs. None of that matters. As long as you know that Jesus stepped out of heaven, came to be born as a baby, Jesus came to change your life. There was one missionary, and he was standing in front. It was a storefront in Austria, and he's looking at these figurines that were carved by hand, and they're a little bit more than life size. He says it was the most beautiful thing that he had ever seen. He started thinking about the meaning of the nativity. He's going through that. And all of a sudden, a grandmother stepped up with her 3-year-old grandchild. She stooped over, and she began talking to the grandchild, and she was pointing out Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. And the missionary says, I couldn't understand what she was saying because there's this language barrier, but I know that she was telling the story of the nativity, the same story that people have been telling for over 2,000 years. It has changed millions of lives. See, that's what the sign of the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, is all about. Last week I said that I'm going to make it an emphasis through the Advent season to open the altars. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, today could be the day where you confess him with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ came, that you want to follow after him. Jesus, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. I'm sorry for my sin. Will you please forgive me? And you can begin to follow after him. And I realize that many of us here are already Christians, and many of us have been Christians for many years and following after Christ. But you know what? As we go through our lives, things, we make mistakes still. Maybe the Spirit has been prompting you about something that you need to confess, something that you need to turn over. Maybe, just maybe, you want to have a closer relationship as you're thinking about the nativity and Jesus and the dying on the cross. And so you want to have a closer relationship with Jesus. Would you be bold enough to come forward? Again, if you want someone to pray with you, altar's here. If you just want to pray on your own, right over there. As I said when I began this, I think it would be great to sing all three of those songs again. The Emmanuel songs and things. And sing them in a new light as it was some of this there. But listen to this. You stepped down from heaven, humbly you came. God of all creation here with us. Adore. Can we sing Adore again? But this time, think of it as Jesus loved you so much. He came down from heaven. He was a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's lying in a manger. And he came here knowing that he was going to have to die for you. And yet he still did that.